And Robin, I think we've all got a song in our head today. It might not be the same song, but we're all humming some kind of song today after the news that David Bowie died from cancer at age 69. I've got Let's Dance in my head.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
Well, it's impossible to pick, so I threw a dart and I picked Suffragette City. Suffragette City from 1972's The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Longtime BBC journalist Paul Gambaccini is in London. And Paul, you knew David Bowie had cancer. You told us that after his heart attack 10 years ago, he didn't perform live for fear that he would die on stage. And now this, your thoughts today?
Well, my first thought was, how can life exist without this great life force? He was someone who represented the essence of creativity, the essence of energy and courage. And so it seemed very strange that he should be taken from us. And the reaction here, and indeed around the world, seems to have been very personal. This isn't just a professional thing where you mourn the loss of a creator of a great songbook. This is a personality who meant a great deal to people as individuals. And that is because every young person at some point considers themselves the other, the freak, the nerd, the outsider. And there was a David Bowie persona to fit you regardless of who you were. Were you the science fiction nerd? There's Space Oddity. Were you bisexual or gay? There was Ziggy Stardust. Were you a technology nerd? There was the Berlin trilogy of electronic albums. There was Aladdin Sane. There was the Thin White Duke. Something for everyone. And this is why we have had tweets from the most extraordinary range of people, from Tony Blair to Kanye West, from the Archbishop of Canterbury to Madonna. Think about that.
What a shapeshifter. As you mentioned, just so many, a chameleon, so many different things to different people. I was fascinated. I didn't realize he changed his name from Davy Jones to avoid confusion with the then huge star Davy Jones, you know, who was an Oliver, and then took on one of the many characters you mentioned, Major Tom, orbiting Earth in Space Oddity.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
You know, Paul Gambaccini, I'm thinking you can't watch the new film The Martian without thinking of David Bowie, Matt Damon stuck up in space. As you say, he left such an imprint on so many parts of our thinking. Tell us more about why. You know, the characters captivated people, the music did. What more was going on?
He was interested in the avant-garde and in more than just music. He was interested in modern dance. He was interested in theater. And so he would pick up things that were new, regardless of what form they were in, and bring them into popular music. In this way, he was, unconsciously, of course, the direct forerunner of Madonna, who subsequently did a similar type of thing.
Or Lady Gaga
in the present day. Someone who is talented across disciplines and particularly talented and commercial in one. But let's remember, he was on the Broadway stage in The Elephant Man. He was in films in The Man Who Fell to Earth and Labyrinth and Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. So he really did cut a swathe. And as we know, in the run-up to his death, there was the stage show in New York, Lazarus, based on his music. So he was active until the very last week, and of course he released an album only 3 days ago.
You knew him. You did biographies on him, musical biographies. What was he like in real life? When he was Ziggy, was he Ziggy? You know, what was he like?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to make the mistake of saying that just because I interviewed him, I was his best friend. There are a lot of people who make that kind of mistake in show business. But I talked to him enough to get a sense of the real person. And the real person was not only an inquisitive soul, but a very generous person. Probably the interview with the greatest viewership he ever had, we conducted at Live Aid backstage after he had given his immortal performance of the song Heroes. And he said to me, we should do this every year. Well, obviously they didn't do it every year. But the fact that he was willing to do it, that he was eager, so philanthropic, so generous, And this really was an insight into the man. But also I like the fact that he used the word we, as if to speak of a community of artists, that even though he was different and distinct, he felt he was part of the overall team. And I would say that he was part of the first team playing in the David Bowie position.
Yeah. Well, we should mention as well an adventurous life, to put it mildly, sexually ambiguous at times, bisexual, also famously married to the model Imam. He left children. But speak of his final album, Black Star. There was such a disconnect in the New York Times today, Paul. There's a little squib in the art section. It's titled something like, "It's a great time to be David Bowie," you know, that his album had just come out and that there's a tribute concert at Carnegie Hall coming up. And of course, that obviously, that print was set before learning that he died. But in the final album, there's a song, Lazarus, and a video just released. He is a man dying.
One could well say that this was a portent of his own death, because he knew he was dying of cancer. And so, yes, unbelievably, he turned his death into art.
And the lyrics, "Look up here, I'm in heaven.
Look up here, I'm in heaven."
As David Bowie's figure writhes on a deathbed. He always was otherworldly.
He was someone who came from somewhere else, even though he actually came from Brixton. But his spirit was from somewhere else, and he visited us for a while, and now he's gone.
BBC broadcaster Paul Gambaccini, thank you.
You're welcome.
And, of course, we're going to be hearing a lot of David Bowie's music today as we remember him. Well